and welcome to the Forbes India Cover Story podcast series in association with theindicast.com. My name is Abhishek, and this cover package shines a spotlight on India's staggeringly successful family-run businesses. Joining me on the call are Nandika Tripathi and Naini Thakur, who have anchored this issue. Hi, thanks for joining in.
Thanks, Abhishek.
Thank you. This is not the first time that Forbes India has a family-run business special, so to speak. What's different this time around?
So Forbes India comes up with a family business special issue every year. And this time, for the first time, we are doing it specifically focused on one region. Basically, we focused on Ahmedabad city. In the past, we've done a lot of stories from Gujarat. So this time we thought that, you know, let's not cover the companies that we've already widely covered. And the focus was to cover the companies which have, you know, not gotten a lot of coverage and they are less covered. So that was the focus pretty much. And then I think we started work on this issue late in July. And this issue is specifically special for the both of us because both of us are from Ahmedabad. And we never knew each other before and we only met in Forbes India. And that's how our journey also started. We've done a lot of stories together, but this is the first time we are anchoring an issue together. And so that's that. Naini, if you'd like to add more to this.
I think Nandika summed it up pretty well. Like she said that I think the idea was, of course, to look at a bunch of, so to speak, hidden gems in an area where a lot of the large legacy businesses don't really like speaking to the media. So our attempt was to really get them to talk. And to add to that, we not only wanted to look at some large companies, but also try and cover some of the startups, some next generation entrepreneurs were coming up. So essentially, you know, through the package, ensure that we've not missed out on any aspect of entrepreneurship when it comes to this region.
And to be honest, it's so difficult convincing these people. I mean, the people that we've spoken to, they're like really media shy. And we like started work on this way, I think a month back. So it was a challenge, but it was worth it.
Let's talk about some of those media shy hidden gems. Who are those? Whom did you get a chance to speak with?
Cadila and Arvind, both the names, I feel we've been trying to get them from a very long time, especially an interview with Rajiv Modi of Cadila. And when we met him, he told us that, you know, I'm doing an interaction, a media interaction after almost 12 years. That was pretty big for us. And followed by Arvind, of course.
In the article that you did on Mr. Modi of Cadila, I think he's quite determined not to take his company public. Is that something that you saw when you spoke with different family-owned businesses? Because one gripe that corporate world has is that it's very tightly knit families who run businesses, but that cliche may or may not be correct. What was your sense, whether it was with Mr. Modi or elsewhere as well?
So with Mr. Modi, it was like he was very clear that, okay, the company needs to grow, but there are certain things which I personally would like to do and dedicate to my parents, which if I go public, I will not be able to do. So for instance, when we went to interview him, our interview started off with a visit to the memorials which he had made for his parents in a Dholka. In the Dholka plant, it's a formulations plant. So there was a huge space on the right side. There was a memorial for his father and on the left for his mother. So that's when he pointed out that if I go public, how will I justify to the people? And I don't want to use people's money and not be able to justify to them. So that's what his thoughts are.
And you also quoted Indrawardhan Modi, the co-founder, where he talks about how his focus areas are doubling productivity and what, creating affordable miracles.
Right. Yeah. So that's how Cadila started. I think from day one, their focus was that they want to create affordable medicines for destitute people and make all these medicines reach in all parts of the country. He was the one who took a lead in starting the manufacturing of medicines and generics in India. So after that, a lot of companies joined in.
Yes. And another observation about family-run businesses generally is that they are probably slow to change. At least when we read articles in the West. So there is a big line between a professional-run outfit and a family-run business, which did not appear to be the case in the stories that you've covered. Naini, you've done one on Astral. What was your sense when you spoke with the founding team as well as the next generation, where how easy was it for Mr. Sandeep Engineer to let go now that he's got the next generation in place?
I think, so usually, like you rightly mentioned, the perception is always that when it's a family-run business, it will not be as professionally run, right? But I think what Mr. Sandeep Engineer ensured from the very beginning was that he gave a lot of leeway to his employees to basically act as the key decision makers. So in that sense, those guys end up having a lot more responsibility. So instead of having the traditional model where he would ideally be the decision maker for everything, making all calls for everyone, he was very, from the very beginning, very hearing out from his team. And I think that's how they've grown the entire team over the years. That's also been passed along to his sons, who are now very, very active in the business as well. In fact, I spoke to one of the distributors who's been working with Astral for years now. And the first thing he told me was that, you know, till date, I'm so much in touch with everyone from the top management. If there's an issue, I can just pick up the phone and call them. So, you know, that approachable, environment that they built probably led to people feeling a lot more, you know, responsible and working better in a sense. So I think that was one thing that probably would have led to this culture. But yeah, of course, there have been a lot of changes that the second generation's made, because obviously to an extent there's a legacy that you keep in mind, but then as time changes, you want to change a lot of things as well. So there's digitization in terms of talent that they're hiring, etc. All that is changing quite a bit as right. well.
Is that another common thread, digitization? Because today one can't do without it, whether it is artificial intelligence or basic services that people have come to take for granted across the different. Is that one big change which is diametrically opposite to what the founding fathers or mothers of those organizations would have had to deal with? Because in the last 10 years has seen a dramatic shift, and more so after COVID.
Yeah, I feel the companies that we spoke to, the current generations, they are pretty much open to change, and they're easily adapting. For example, I was speaking to Colleen Lalbhai of Arvind, and he told me that when he joined the family business, e-commerce was catching up. All the Bunsels were coming up with the Flipkarts and stuff like that. At that time, Arvind also launched their own website. So I think these people are pretty open to change, and they are quickly adapting.
Right. And you've put Arvind on the cover. The leadership styles in a company which is over 92 years old and multiple generations, how do you find the previous generation vis-a-vis now, and how easily has the handover happened?
Yeah, so I think the history of Arvind dates back to 126 years ago. The second generation entrepreneur, Kasturbai Lalbhai, he had to take over the helm pretty early on because his father passed away. And I think he's the main man behind building the company Arvind. And after that, the transition was pretty smooth. But each generation had to face challenges during their times. For example, Kasturbai had to take over like pretty early. And then similarly, when Sanjay Lalbhai, the fourth generation entrepreneur, he had to take over. At that time, there was this power loom situation and a lot of changes were happening. The big mills were being challenged by low labor cost and manufacturing standards were all cheaper and everything was happening. So at that time, he forayed into denim. So that was his first. And after that, now when we talk about the current generation, so when they took over the company, at that time, denim was not really doing so well. And the company was looking to diversify into other garments. And at that time, the current generation brought in advanced material textiles, in which they make clothing and accessories for all firefighters and soldiers. And they also make interiors for Vande Bharat Express and windmill blades and stuff like that. So yeah, I think the company has been doing well. I think they have four listed companies on the Lal Street.
And another such outfit with a fourth generation at the helm is Alembic Pharma that you've written about, Naini. Since we're talking about leadership styles, the Pranav and Shaunak who've now taken over, you write that they have very contrasting styles in how they run their businesses. And also there is a proper wedge in terms of jurisdictions that are carved out. Would my understanding be right? Or is that how it works there?
Yeah. Yes, Abhishek, that's absolutely correct. It's very interesting, actually, and probably the first time I've heard of something like this. But I think it's a model which works well, which is just that they have two very separate businesses, right? And they clearly know that it's... I mean, it doesn't make any sense to have them work as one team, because obviously the offices are different, the teams are different, both of them are sitting out of different cities. So they operate as two very different companies, essentially. So the international business, which Pranav leads, is essentially one company. Obviously, it's not officially a separate company, but it's treated like one. And at the same time, the India business is operated as a separate one. And the only department which is the same is the finance, which is led by the CFO. So that's the only commonality. Even their HRs are different because they deal with very different kinds of staff. You know, the India business has a lot of sales on ground versus the international business needs a lot of senior executives, manufacturing staff who are trained entirely differently. So I think that is a very, very interesting model. And in that sense, like Pranav was telling us, he loves experimenting with things. I think he's taken up after his great grandfather. He sort of likes to have autonomy, and he works with a lot of senior leadership who also have a lot more people under them, versus Shaunak, who kind of needs to be very hands-on because he's dealing with a lot of salespeople to ensure that their products are out there, right? So it's very interesting, and they complement each other very well at the board level, like he was saying. I mean, you know, he's like, if I want to do something if I have an idea which sometimes can be super aggressive, then Shaunak's there to sort of rein me in, saying this might not be the right time. So it's a very, very interesting family. An incredible amount of history. I mean, they've literally given me two books to go through to come up and really understand what all they did. So in fact, one point that you were making earlier, which is that, you know, sometimes they have to sort of let go of certain businesses. I think they have done a great deal of giving up a lot of businesses because it was started. I mean, the company was set up pre-independence, which was a time when self-dependency was essentially the key, you know. So if, for instance, they started making cough syrups, so cough syrups, you need to put them in bottles. Now those bottles, just so you don't have to import them, they want to make those bottles as well. Then they want to make, so I mean, the entire supply chain end to end was literally being manufactured in-house. So over the years, they had to start dropping some of those businesses because they weren't sustainable. So I think very, very interesting company.
Just helps that you have one person where the buck stops. You can borrow ideas or bounce off ideas with each other, like in this case Pranav and Shaunak, but they essentially stay out of each other's hair. Then
Exactly. And that's exactly what Chirayu Amin, who's the patriarch at the moment, he said that, you know, the succession plan is working well. So fine, clearly seems like it is.
Right. And the last one is a story that both of you did together. And it was a revealing one in that Ahmedabad, which is historically known to be very famous for its merchants and trade and family-owned businesses, it's also emerging, you write, as a startup hub.
Yeah, so we actually covered a lot of old startups here who have been around for a decade now and the new ones that are coming up. What the expert suggested is that the startup culture is still at a very nascent stage. A lot of changes need to happen. Investors are interested, but the only good part is that the cost of living is cheaper in comparison to other metro cities. But the investor interest is not as great as it should be, but it will change with time. But yeah, some interesting work happening on that front as well.
Right. So some companies that you can talk about, Lending Card, Nepra, Bummer, there is D2C brands, electric vehicles. So a lot of things happening there in that place.
Yeah, I think Bummer went to Shark Tank India also. I think they became pretty famous after that, na Naini?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's one very interesting D2C brand. And in fact, he comes from a family-run business as well, who have also been in the apparel space for over 100 years. But the fact that, you know, he decided to go out there and do something different. And in fact, my first question to him was, why did you decide to stick around in Ahmedabad when clearly everyone would have preferred a Bombay or a Bangalore? Because that's where, I mean, everyone is. You'd get the right talent. It's a hub, right? So his first thing was that, you know, so people think But when you actually look at the cost of labor, the cost of living, the cost of operations, all of that is about 30 to 40% lower in Ahmedabad. So why would I not want to set up operations here? It's actually very, very interesting of him to do that. He said the only problem that I face is probably networking to a great extent. Otherwise, it's the city is just perfect to start a business. And I think that's something that a lot of people have felt, even other companies that I spoke to, and maybe Nandika can add on to this, including a company which was started back in 2000 as a tech startup, when around the same time, large companies like InfoEdge were coming up as well. And again, back then also, they preferred staying in Ahmedabad simply because they knew that, you know, there are all these legacy businesses. And this company I'm speaking about is Signet Infotech. The idea back then was also to start something from this city because of the entrepreneurial zeal around here. Of course, they faced many, many challenges, but they continue to have an office here. Again, given the kind of cost of operations being a lot cheaper and how it promotes a sense of work-life balance. I think Nandika can add.
Yeah. Just to add to that, when I was speaking to Renny Cosmetics founders, they are the founders of Beardo, which got acquired by Marico. So they told me that, you know, we also considered moving to Bombay. In fact, we did for a bit, but then we just came back to Ahmedabad because we could conduct like 4 to 5 meetings in a day. And in Bombay, we could just do like a couple of meetings. So ease of doing business for them, they feel, is much more and better here in the city. I miss talking about this guy, Ravi Varmora. He worked with the family business for 8 years, and then he started his own startup called Univia Agritech. And the family was totally against this decision that why do you want to step away? But then he was like, I was so much in my comfort zone that the creativity went for a toss, and I was not able to really do anything new. And that's when he decided that he wants to have his own startup. So I think startup culture is picking up. In fact, the people who have their own legacy run businesses, and they are also like stepping away to do their own things. Yeah, finding their feet. So yeah, Naini, if you'd like to add on to this.
Like Nandika said, most of them, Abhishek, I think, of the people we've covered probably come from family-run businesses. I think everyone apart from the founder of Let's Recycle, who Nandika spoke to, I think most of them have had some sort of a family business. I think the founder of Lending Card also came from a family business and decided to do something of his own. So the idea was to really understand that the general assumption is that, you know, this is a place which is full of legacy family businesses. So we wanted to try and tell people that, listen, that might have been, you know, the assumption in all these years, but that's changing. And with so many interesting companies coming up, there is a significant aspect of startups that can be shown in a city like Ahmedabad.
Yeah. And for instance, when I spoke to the founder of Nepra, Let's Recycle, he does not have any family run background, but then he was like, all my friends had their family-owned businesses or family-run businesses. And at that time, I decided that, you know, I want to create my own legacy. So that was his passion and why he started this company.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, Naini and Nandika, for your time on this podcast. It was fun. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Abhishek. Thanks.
All you listeners, you can get this podcast on ForbesIndia.com or any other app that you use to download your podcasts. And to have someone call you for a Forbes India subscription, message Forbes to 51818.